Amber Valdez is a former TV host and NFL cheerleader turned spiritual awakening guide, life purpose activator. Amber had to become her own cheerleader at a very young age. She didn't have a lot of support growing up. She was raised in a broken, abusive home with a mentally ill mother and a father who was an addict. She was on food stamps for most of her childhood and didn't go to college. But fast forward to now, traveling the world, running a successful multiple six-figure, purpose-filled business, who's in love with her life, in love with herself, and is truly living out her soul's assignment. Transformed her pain into purpose, her mess into her message, and you can too. I'm so excited to share Amber with you today. Let's dive in. You're listening to the Super Expander Podcast. Aligned goals are pivotal for expansion. You don't need me to tell you that. But what happens when your flame weakens? What really happens when it totally goes out? Reignite your goals starts with awakening to the emotions that pull you further and further away. Letting go of your shame, denial, and frustration, and figuring out why your body is resisting your goals are the key to success. Regulate your nervous system, release the blocks, and reassess your path forward because your goals are ready to be reset and reignited. Hello, hello, Super Expanders, and welcome back. I am super excited because I know this conversation is about to blow some minds. I'm really excited to welcome Amber Valdez to the show.
You all love from Spain, Mallorca, Spain. I moved here in June from Austin, fell in love with the love of my life on vacation, and came back and changed my whole life in 45 days and moved here and got engaged, got married, and now we're trying for baby at 45 years young. We got a dog too. We picked up along the way and went back to Austin. So, Yeah, you want to talk about being super expander. Woo!
Yeah. But yeah. Ooh, I think we just did a whole podcast in like 10 seconds. Like that was a record.
Told you it was
going to
be juicy. So,
all right. Wow. Okay. So we're going to have to circle back around to all of those things. But before we do, I got to know, I mean, we have a little bit of history context. This isn't our first conversation. It's not our first meeting. We have a mutual connection of Lauren Swan, who is, you know, just like one of the most amazing human beings. And she's actually been on the Super Expander. You guys, if you haven't listened to that episode, you got to go back and check it out. It was a great conversation. But and I'll make sure I drop it in the notes if you want to go back and get caught up on all the things, connect all the dots, which I think is usually pretty fun. But Amber, who are you on a soul level? I mean, we just don't mess around here.
Yeah, no, no time for small talk. I appreciate that question. Who I am on a soul level is someone that cares so deeply about people winning, has a deep desire to be the cheerleader for others that I never had. Wants to see people win and shine and wants to see this world become heaven on earth. Always seeking, you know, on ways in which I can contribute. Often beat myself up feeling like I'm not doing enough or I'm failing. And who is just truly committed to learning to love herself, own her worth, and pay forward all that she's navigated through to transmute and alchemize that. And to potentially supporting people with a little less suffering and pain. And at heart, someone like the rest of us that just wants to be loved and just wants to know that they matter and they're worthy and their purpose matters. And that's been my mantra the last decade. And, you know, they say you teach what you're here to learn. And I think that learning to love yourself and own your worth is many a lifetime journey. I don't think we've ever arrived. And I know I haven't. I mean, I've come a long fucking way, but are we allowed to cuss on this podcast? I'm sorry.
Come on. We're setting a new precedent right now.
Come a long way.
Of course. Let it fly. We are an equal opportunity podcast here. Show up. Be yourself. Fully yourself. That's really, I mean, isn't that what being an expander, a super expander is about? Okay. So I have to ask because what you're doing now in your soul's mission is being a cheerleader essentially for others. But that's kind of what you did before too, completely different, right? So did you always have this, like, I mean, it's like iterations of being a cheerleader, because you were an NFL cheerleader.
I was an NFL cheerleader, which was also a complete manifestation and making a way out of no way and not taking no for an answer. I grew up on food stamps and free lunches. We couldn't afford to go to dance class. I taught myself. I self-taught. I cheerleaded in high school. Cheerleading definitely saved my life. We'll come back around to that. But when I ended up trying out for the NFL, like, you know, I couldn't do the splits. I never took a formal dance training. I took like one ballet class and I loved it. And my mom was like, we can't afford it, which is something I heard my whole life. And so I really just like willed it to be and ended up making the NFL. And I was the first cheerleader on the Seattle Seahawks to make the squad who had never been a formal, like never had a formal dance training background.
Dang. Love this. And I want to take this somewhere, because before we hit record, we were talking about this sort of idea of like the anti-guru, something that I've been really, I think, especially the last couple of months, really delving into. There's this idea of, yes, self-leadership, but what you just said was self-taught. And why I want to go there is because I feel like we're in this like energetic, like funny thing, at least that I'm really, really noticing, that it's kind of like, it's time for everyone to start stepping into. I believe that we need people to, yes, collapse time for us and to cheer us on. But I think it's really like this pivotal moment for people to start taking radical responsibility for teaching themselves and stop just being like, hey, I'm going to hand you over this investment so that you can teach me everything. And in the end, feeling like really disappointed that I don't know, like there's a whole thing. So I want to go there before I like share all of my opinions and thoughts on it, because you're a living, breathing manifestation, iteration, example of self-taught. So I want to hear your thoughts on that, because I don't even know if I really phrased a question, but I want to hear like how that resonates with you. Like where, let's go somewhere with that.
Yeah, I love it. So here's what I often tell my students, because I coach coaches and I coach spiritual entrepreneurs. And I often say, like, a good coach doesn't give you the answers. A good coach evokes the answers and holds the container and guides you to find your own way, to find your own answers, right? And so I do think there's a couple different types of people. There's the people like, do this for me. They'll take a training and they'll like, well, what are you going to do for me? And I'm like, absolutely nothing. Like, I'm not going to do anything for you. Like, imagine going to a personal trainer and be like, what are you going to do for me? It's like handing all the responsibility over. Like, that trainer has you for what, 1 hour? What you put in your mouth, those other 23 moments of the day and how you move and the choices you make, they have no control over. So I feel like there's a lot of people looking to be rescued. I know I was that person in love, looking to be rescued, playing the victim, making somebody else the savior, right? And then there's some of us who have savior complex. I've been victim to being to go into savior complex. Let me try to fix everybody else's life to avoid me actually looking at my own shit, right? So I feel like it's a fine line between leader and savior complex. And I think like the guru complex is a lot of people disassociating from what they know to be true. I mean, like, well, if so-and-so says it, like, I'll give you an example. So I had a student in my training now, incredible human, make a way out of no way, used to like, was homeless with her son. Like, literally, this woman is a beast. Like, she is one of the 1% that will do whatever it takes to like make it happen. So we had a call and she started telling me that this first coach she had told her to never lower her prices. Okay. And she was fresh out the gate with her certifications and her coaching and wanted her to go high ticket. Now, her environment, as I just mentioned, she was homeless, right? She was like trying, imagine the community she's surrounding herself with, if that's her reality, right? And she's grown out of that now. I mean, she's on her way, right? Making a great life for herself. However, she held this coach opinion and like consulting term as Bible. And it put her in a box. And then I got on here and I was like, honey, You 3-4 years ago, would you have invested $1,500 was the price? Would you have invested $1,500 3 or 4 years ago? No, probably not, right? So meet these people where they're at. And her whole, she had this penny drop moment where her whole mind, so she goes, so you mean I can lower my prices to meet people where they're at financially? Yes. To which she says, oh my God, well, that's not what my coach said. So she literally has been struggling in building her business because her prices have been so high because that's what this coach told her to do. So to your point, when we make someone our authority and we take what they say as Bible, we can really sabotage ourselves. And so I love this conversation of like, where's this fine line between having a coach, a mentor, a guide, but then also having sovereignty and also having personal responsibility, and then also utilizing this as data, right? Like it utilizing a coach or a therapist or a counselor as data and like a buffet and take what lands and leave the rest, but don't pedestal people in such a way that they godify them, that they have all the fucking answers, because we're all individuals. Like everybody likes their own flavor of ice cream. So to your point, the guru complex is real, but then you have some people that like really love the guru complex. Like they love it. Like they just narcissists all over the place, right? And then you have people that don't want to take responsibility for their life and then blame their mentors or their coaches when their life's not working. And also have this intuitive feeling, or they're so disassociated with their own truth, right? That they will not actually go against what their mentor might say for the lack of messing up or being wrong. And that all has to do with our childhood wounds, you know, of like not being indecisive and wanting to get it right and being the good girl. And I got to listen to what everyone says, but then they get lost in the sea of like I remember being in my early 20s, asking everyone for advice. And I remember like what a crazy person that made me, right? Like, just like, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Like everybody, like anybody knows better for you. Right.
Yeah.
And then as I evolved and did, you know, some work on myself, I hate when people say I've done so much work on myself, because like, listen, we've never arrived. But like, whilst I started doing work on myself, I started to recognize that pattern in my sister, bless her heart, that asks, and she has no identity of self. Like she believes everything the government has to say. And like, that's a whole other thing. But it can be scary for people to actually listen to their own heart. And I think it takes practice. And I think it takes you getting burned enough times of giving your power away to a partner, a friend, a mentor, a boss, until you get a place where you're like, oh shit, okay. I wasn't looking at the signs. Ladies, red flags in partnership. How could I have not seen that? Right? But then there's some lessons that can only be taught through doing.
Absolutely.
So I think we learn as we fuck up, AKA as we choose. And not every choice we're going to bat 100 out the park. So for me, it was the second time I tried out to come back in a circle. It's the second time I tried out for the NFL that I actually made it. The first time I tried out, I was unprepared. I was the last one to go. I was tired out, danced there for 6 hours, had no water, no food, was not prepared, and literally like got up there and just like blanked, but was teaching everybody the dance routine in the bathroom. Right. Because nobody, I didn't have any food to eat. So there was no Uber Eats back then. And we were like in the stadium, which was an industrial area. There's nowhere to eat. So long story longer, I didn't make it the first time. And next time, you better believe I had my water and my food and I was ready. And I made friends with some girls that were really quick at learning. And being a professional dancer, you have a trained skill to memorize very quickly. And once I learned the moves, I'd actually do the moves better than the other girls, some of them, because of my natural ability. But I was horrible at memorization. These girls could watch something once and they'd have it, right? So I befriended some of these girls. I worked at Gold's Gym at the time. And I was like, hey, want to come and use the gym and use the thing to practice? And everybody, and there's mirrors and everybody was so excited. And so I used that as a bargaining tool to bring the girls in to teach me the routines. And I end up making the squad. So I self-taught myself dances and dance moves and was co-captain of my cheer squad and all those things. But then when I moved into the NFL, I lacked an area and I brought along some mentors, AKA some coaches or AKA some other people that were clearly better at a certain thing than me, for me to learn from. And then I made it my own. And you better believe that I had to go and practice 4 hours before every single practice, just so I was prepared during practice to know the moves, because they moved so quickly and they taught so fast. So it wasn't easy by any means. It was definitely hard, but I did it and I made it happen. Mm. And I think all of us can make anything happen if we really just focus and explore and find some mentors and some guides along the way and then make it our own.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Okay. So we now, everyone like, oh, they're like, oh, I kind of have a little bit of a snippet and understanding of kind of like what you're doing today in the world. But I want to go back to this like accelerated life, you know, like you just kind of like catapulted, you went on vacation, you were on vacation in Majorca, you fell in love and you just knew it was like a thing. And you just made all of these radical changes to lean into love, to lean into creating the life that you desire, which the reason why I think this is like so fascinating, so huge, is like you could have these ideas and feelings. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with this guy, but he lives there and I live here. This is never going to work. But that doesn't sound like that was ever the thought process. It was so like, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm going to take all the chances and, you know, completely 360 my life.
Yeah. I mean, it was an interesting series of events and spirit led. I was not having a good experience in Austin. I had gone through severe trauma, severe gnarly breakups, severe betrayal in my business. One of my mentors robbed me of $70,000 in a fake real estate deal. I brought on partners in my business that were running my business in the ground. I was having a really tough couple years and definitely did not know that I was going to make it through. And I ended up losing my dog in the middle of a 5-day challenge. For those of you that don't know that, I'm a coach and I throw 5-day free challenges where I host basically strangers and teach them things each day. And on day 3, my dog died 2 hours before I was going live and died in my arms suddenly. He was at the vet at 11 a.m. He was buried in my backyard by 3. I was a complete wreck. Now, I'm 45 years young, no kids, never been married. So you can imagine my dogs are my babies, and anybody who knows about their fur babies, it's real. So it was the second dog that I had lost of mine in 2 years. So I was definitely like empty nest syndrome, losing it. Same day, my assistant ended up having an emergency blood transfusion, slips into a coma. Like there was so much going on. And I was like, okay, holy shit. Like it wasn't just like in the middle of a launch, I have no support, right? Basically creating this offering to give out to others for those that don't know what that is. So I won this trip to Morocco a week before. I knew I was going to Morocco. Everybody was like, you should go to Spain. It's right there. I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. Well, when Romeo died, I was like, that's it. Like, I'm just going to go and like not know when I'm going to come back. I don't have any reason to come back. I work from anywhere in the world, right? So like, let's just see. Grieved my way all through Morocco. Vowed to bring women back there to heal. I just did in October. I will continue. That land is so sacred. The people are so beautiful. The food is incredible. It's magic. Healed my way, prayed my whole way through. God, like, help me understand. Like, knees. You ever had those screaming at God moments where you're just like, it was pouring. It was like a movie scene, pouring down rain on the beach in Morocco. Nobody around. I'm like yelling at the ocean. Like, what do you want from me? My dog is gone. Where's my husband? Where's my kids? What the heck is going on with my business? Like, basically at my total, like, come to Jesus moment. Like, what now? So I was open to possibilities, right? Like, I was ready for a shift, for something to change, for something to expand. And I was in the prayer of like, you need to tell me soon, like, what you want. Because this is like, every area of my life is basically in shambles. I don't know, however you want to put it. It was my tower card moment for those of you that use tarot. So I'm going to Spain. I don't know where I'm going. I just know I'm going. So I decide I'm going to go to Barcelona. I decide my niece is going to go to my house, pack up all my stuff, put it away so I can Airbnb my house. And I'm just going to go. I threw stuff in a bag in an hour, literally. And like, I don't know how I've made that flight to Morocco. Morocco's right next to Spain, by the way. So I'm in Morocco. I decide to meet my niece in Barcelona. We're going to do a couple days in Barcelona. And then we don't know. Everyone's like, Majorca, Majorca, Majorca. So I end up in Majorca. And within 3 hours, I meet Gustavo. And it wasn't like I want to rip his clothes off lust. I literally did not even know he was hot until like 2.5 weeks when I looked at him. I was like, holy smokes, he's a babe. And my niece was like, you're now just seeing this. Like, I literally was just like in shock. And so I went to this, there was all these signs. I ended up at this place called Bar Cuba. I thought he was Cuban. I had two guys that were Cuban. I was like, never again a Cuban man. Told my niece to keep me away from Cubans. I was told to go to Bar Cuba from an owner of a restaurant. It was all serendipitous, all fully aligned. He was on his way out. I was on my way in. It was literally, he asked for my phone number. He didn't speak English. I didn't speak Spanish. He speaks French and German, but no English. He gives me his phone. We use Translate. He's like, can I take you out to dinner and get to know you better tomorrow? And I was like, sure. My niece was like, did you just give that guy your phone number? I was like, I did. It felt right. So we ended up on this date. I liked the way I felt in his presence. I was back to the old Amber. I was cracking jokes. I felt really beautiful. He had me feel beautiful. He was treating me like a beautiful flower. And he felt like home. And I kept just saying, we'll see. We'll see. My niece was like, this is your husband. I'm like, we'll see. My friend flies in from London, my marketing girl. She's like, this is your husband. I'm like, we'll see. I was in this whole like, we'll see. Right? And I didn't sleep with him. I was like, I need to know the next person that I'm with. I need to trust them and know them and feel them in my body. I've done the reverse engineer. I wanted to find a best friend that I like to have sex with, not the other way around. Not find someone I like to have sex with and try to force them into being my best friend. I have a big life. I'm always on a plane. I have a big mission on this planet to light 1 million souls on fire. Like, I am big. I care about my clients, my students. I love making money. I love creating impact. Like, not the average girl in Spain. Okay. So I just came in and blew this man's socks off. And basically in the second date, he's like, I love you. I want to marry you. I want to have your babies. And I was like, holy shit. How is this happening so fast? The prayer, every ritual I could remember. In February, I sat with Lakota, people in a sweat. I made prayer tries for my babies and my husband. I did ceremony on my birthday 3 months early with like 25 of my girlfriends. And they all prayed over me to like call in my man. Like there was like these very significant, like, deep prayer, praying all over Morocco, remember, asking God, like, bring me my person. I was sitting on the edge of rocks in Barcelona, playing my drum, singing I love you to the ocean, like telling my ocean to bring me my person. And literally Mallorca is on the other side of Barcelona. Like I was literally singing to him. And then it just stars aligned. And he knew before I knew, but I kept leaning in. And of course, all my friends back home are like, babe, is he love bombing you? Like, this is another narcissist on your belt. Like, what's happening? What do you mean he doesn't speak English? Like, what's happening right now? And I was like, guys, like, I think this is my person. And they were like, Amber, I think you just need to come back. You're obviously grieving. Like, nobody was on board except for my niece who was here, who's 30 years old, and my friend, who got to experience him and the way he looked at me and the way he was with me. I mean, like I said, every little move I made, he like just took care of me, getting me a pillow from IKEA. He's going to the grocery store, getting me lemons and ginger and finding me IV drips because I got sick as a dog. But like something was different. So I left, I came back and I knew it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go home. I'm going to pack up my stuff. I'm going to rent my house because I own a home in Austin. I'm going to come here and we're going to see what happens. And he didn't believe it. He actually did not think I was going to do it. And I went back home and I was on mission, like 2 garage sales, Facebook marketplaces later, spoke on 3 stages, packed my whole life up, purged my whole 40 plus years of my life, and was on a plane June 21st. I left May 15th and I was back in Mallorca on June 21st. We got engaged on July 29th and I got married on August 3rd in Gibraltar. And I was like, okay, so we literally met April 15th and we were married on August 3rd. And so I felt it in my body. It was a full body yes. It felt like calm. And I was like, what do I have to lose?
Oh my gosh. Wow. This is amazing.
Right? So you can always go home.
My burning question in all of this is, how did you guys fit language classes in this very short amount of time so that you know? I became fluent in each other's language.
I speak English. I mean, I still don't speak Spanish. Gustavo is like 85% fluent in English now. He also speaks Dutch, German, Spanish, and English and French. So he's I think once you like know one or two languages, you just kind of get the rest of them. At least that's what I thought. So
yeah, I've heard that too.
But our third in our relationship is Google Translate.
Oh, so that's your third wheel. Google is riding third wheel. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So what a testament to like leaning in and listening to your intuition. How has it been? Like, how exactly have you trained that muscle to just know for yourself?
That's a great question. So I don't know if you guys believe in human design, but if you do, I am what is called a splenic authority, which means I make decisions from literally my spleen area from emotion. So I'm the type of person, for example, when I won the trip to Morocco, I didn't research the girl. I didn't look at the itinerary. I literally just showed up. Like it felt right. People are like, that's probably traumatizing. You're like, wait, we're going to Morocco. You had no, I had no idea I was staying. I had no idea what we were doing. And I also was going through massive death and all this stuff. Remember transition before I left Austin. But I feel when I feel it, I feel it. And I just go. I don't need data. I don't need logic and reason. That's how I make my decisions. And so everybody has their own way of making decisions. So for me, I've practiced listening to it. I'm a yes. I'm also a Sagittarius. So I usually say yes before I actually, I'm like, you want to go to the movies next week? Tuesday? Yeah. And then I'm like, wait, I need to look at my calendar. Right. So that's just kind of how I operate. If it feels right, I just dive in. And so I know that terrifies some people that do not make decisions that way, but I think everybody has their own thing. So I've just learned what that feels like in my body. And I remember after I broke up with my exes, if I'm honest, every single one of my partners has been narcissist. And I know that word gets thrown around a lot, but I grew up in a severely abusive home. My mother is mentally ill, borderline personality disorder and schizophrenic. So she's also a narcissist. So I, of course, attracted this type of person who has no empathy and no compassion, doesn't say sorry, la, 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 la. So after the last one, I was like, you know what? I need to really figure this out, right? Like, I really need to lift up the hood. I maybe know how to attract amazing friends, create beautiful clients, amazing world for myself. But this area is my blind spot. Like there's something about me that keeps attracting these people that don't see my worth because they're never going to see theirs because they're incapable. So when I started working with the somatic coach, she started having me trust my body and how my body felt. And I was in a constant state of fight or flight with all of my boyfriends. I knew what that felt like. And I knew what it felt like I didn't know what it felt like to be calm in a relationship or safe or grounded or relaxed. I knew growing up in chaos, right? And I knew what that felt like in the entertainment industry and in the agency space. And I was on television, la, 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 all this other stuff. But I didn't know the opposite of that, right? So when I met Gustavo, I remember learning and practicing with my coach, feel into how you feel in this person's presence. And I dated somebody right before Gustavo that was basically trying to force me in bed. And I told them, I want to go 1950 slow. I like this pace because I want to learn to trust how I feel. And so with that being in love, right? And so with Gustavo, the frequency was different. I felt safe. I felt calm. I felt relaxed. I didn't feel like I had to prove. Like I wasn't worried if I had shit in my teeth. You know, I wasn't worried if my stomach was sticking out. Like I noticed this about myself. I was like, wow, I'm being like really comfortable with this person that I do not know. I'd never felt that way on a date ever. So the contrast for me, guys, was really opposite. And I liked how I was feeling. I liked feeling taken care of. I liked feeling safe. I liked feeling warm and grounded and calm. And so I just kept leaning into it. But I'll tell you, I cried probably most of our dates for like the first few weeks because I'd never been treated so well in my life. I didn't understand. This man was like, I love you. You're my dream woman. I'm like, what are you talking about? I've never been anybody's dream woman. Like all these guys would tell me I needed to lose weight and grab my stomach and like, you know, just be so, never tell me I'm beautiful. And then I have this guy that's like the complete opposite. And I'm like, is this actually real? And so it was a lot of like leaning in and getting used to and like crying through the kindness and the love because it was something that I never had actual tangible evidence was real before.
Wow. Felt all these chills and tingles all over as you were telling those stories. That's so juicy. I love it. Okay. So, wow, that was like the fast track to love and moving and whole new life. And now working on babies and dogs and building all of this. But then you have this whole other thing that's happening in terms of supporting people in your business. So let's talk a little bit about that. Retreats, coaching, all of the things. Tell me about the retreat. That's the thing that's really, I'm drawn to hearing more about.
Yeah. So I started to, you know, I've worked with therapists, I've worked with coaches, I've gone to workshops, I've done on programs. But what came to really this last year, especially, which is like, I've always been traveling, but as I stepped after 33, I was on a plane. I've been to Bali, I've been to Africa, Tanzania a few times. I've been all over the place. And what I started to realize after Morocco was that there is an exponential level of growth possible when you travel, not just for like pleasure, when you're like, let's just go run around, eat and drink and like sit on the beach and have pina coladas. That has its time and space, right? And I'm speaking for most Americans, they're like, travel to them is like going 5 days to some resort in Mexico and just sitting by the pool for 5 days and doing that every year. That was kind of how I thought travel was as a kid, right? Like an escape from your life to do nothing and whatever. But what I started to realize is like intentional travel, whilst you're doing, while you're connecting with the land and the elements and the ancestors, the water, the fire, the rock, the trees, there's a lot of messages and there's a lot of opportunity for you to slow down enough to actually listen. And when I went to Morocco, as I told you guys, I was in deep grief. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, what did I do? Like, what's happening here? And through being really connected to the land and connecting with the ancestors and the culture and the people, I realized that when our feet touch literally ancient lands, places that we are not in every day, out of our comfort zone, on farthest parts of the world, something in our body shifts. I believe that dormant DNA codes of remembrance get activated. And I know every single person is called somewhere, whether it's like, oh, it's a dream to go to the Sahara Desert or Africa or Bali or, you know, Tokyo or whatever. Like people, you talk to anybody, they're like, I've always wanted to go here. There is messages for you there. There is healing for you there. There are codes, not to get too woo, but there are codes for you there that can't be unlocked until you actually bring your physical body to that land. And I believe that we're called to the places that we had past lives in. And something happens when you go back to these places, you take parts of your soul back. It's like you connect these pieces and you start to remember who you are. And that's why I'm so obsessed with retreats, because I'm like, oh my God, the women who just came to Morocco with me, holy smokes. I was talking to Corinne before this. We were there for 5 days, y'all. It felt like we were there for a year. There was so much massive transformation, up-leveling, learning, growing, awareness, expansion in everyone's minds that like people came back and their lives catapulted. They left the marriage. They decided they were going to face off with their parents and move to Bali and like follow their dream. They started writing the book. They launched the retreats. They quit the jobs. They broke up with the boyfriends. They doubled their prices. They got their clients. They started their part. Like literally it was like this permission. But it didn't happen until we came and we worked with the water and the fire and the land and the camels. Like we rode camels at sunset and like danced under the stars around the fire in this middle of the Sahara Desert and we're held by the mast on the way. We got to finally come home. And so these retreats that I have been creating from Australia to Shasta to Austin to Malibu to Morocco, now Spain, Ireland, they're permission slips for you to remember who you truly are. Because when you remember who you truly are and you alchemize and your nervous system links into a new environment, you become a new person.
Yeah.
Like going every day to like your local shop, like you're just kind of like a robot. You're just like, it's doing you. You're not doing it. But when you get immersed in other cultures, other languages, other lands, other food, your DNA changes. And then from that space, you all of a sudden are this new person viewing your life and taking a look at your life going, do I want that? No, I want this. So you get inspired, you get activated, you just give yourself permission to fly. And so like, that's why retreats for me have been more potent with self-development and expansion, travel, than any workshop, any therapy that I've done. I feel like it's the most rapid transformation and growth, quantum jump and growth that you can have is when you can on these pilgrimages or you go on these experiences. And
oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think too is this piece of we get so accustomed to not making time, right? And so just you pack your life, your day-to-day life, there's no time to think, there's no space. And so like when you take yourself out of just your regular environment, and then you also surround yourself with other people who are prioritizing that in themselves, and then you also have the magic and the power of culture and land and all of those things, it's like this really super synergistic situation that gets to happen. And all of a sudden there is this awakening of like, wait, there's more to life than this. I was just reading the other day that people are having almost like midlife crises way earlier than, which I think there maybe is a new term for it, because it's not really, it shouldn't be really a midlife crisis. It's like awakening to, awakening to the idea and the fact that it's like, our time here is brief, but also we have enough time if we use the time that we have. But you have to wake up to the fact that like, the life that we have been sort of sold from the time that we were children doesn't have to be what we accept, right? You can choose, you can live your life and create your life in any possible way. And there's so many opportunities now to be able to do that, which I think is mind-blowing. And I feel like your retreats are this like catalyst and conduit to give people that opportunity to see that that's possible for them.
Yeah.
It's so, oh my gosh. Okay. So I know everyone listening is like, whoa, I need to know more about this. So how do they find out about it? What's the best way?
Yeah. Just shoot me a DM on Instagram. I keep it easy. I'm all about ease. The last three retreats I've done, there's been no landing page. There's been no like, it's been like, are you feeling the call? Let's get on a phone call and talk about it. And then I feel into you, you feel into me, you ask all the questions you need to ask. And if you're a yes, you're a yes. If you're a full body yes, you're a yes. And we go. And if you're not, we don't. So yeah,
that's kind pretty of easy.
I like, I'm all easy. It's like, if you're feeling the nudge, there's medicine for you there. The land is calling. Like, I'm like, is Spain calling? Is Ireland calling? Is Morocco calling? You know, it's like, because it's calling. I believe our ancestors are calling us back to these places. And so, and especially for those of you that have percentage in your, I found out it was 1% Moroccan, which is so wild. Found that out before I came there. And I was like, of course, I'm obsessed with Morocco. And now I'm living in Spain and I have like 38% Spain and like Balearic Islands in my chart. And it's like wild. And so it's like, of course, you come back to these places. You remember who you are in past lifetimes, you clean it up, you heal it, and then you can go back into your world from a new set of eyes and a higher version of yourself. So just reach out to me on Instagram. Good. I am Amber Valdez. I am Amber Valdez. I am Amber Valdez. I'm sure it'll be in the show notes too.
You are Amber Valdez. And I'll just make sure that I am your handle. I am Amber Valdez is down in the show notes for ease. For everyone to find it just easily, like just scroll down there. It's one click away. Make sure that you go over, say hi, tell her where you're feeling called to join her in these magical retreats. Okay. So I feel like we could just like riff on all the things for like just ever. So who knows? We'll probably be like having another podcast conversation here soon. Maybe after I attend one of these amazing retreats and we'll bring it back and like dissect it all on the air.
Wow, that would be
amazing. I'm so grateful that you were able to carve out the time to share your journey, your story, your talents, your gifts, all of the things. If there was like one little, you don't know this about me, but I'm like just a dog. Like my heart is just dogs, but oh my gosh, look at those eyes. What a cutie. What's this pup's name?
Morocco.
Well, this is Morocco. Oh my gosh, Morocco. I feel like I need to meet you, Morocco. I just want to hug you like little bear.
Panda. He's a skunk and Uncle Panda.
Oh my gosh. What a cutie pie.
He's 4 months.
Okay. So if there was one little juicy nugget, parting words of wisdom that you wanted to leave everyone with, what would it be?
You're not crazy. You're just awakening. Life gets to be more fun, more juicy, and you matter. You're worthy and your purpose matters. And the world is waiting for you to do the good work on yourself so that you can step in, shine your light, and live your best damn life. Because you're worthy of it.
Amen. And it just doesn't get any better in that than that. So we're just going to like tie it right in a bow here. And I just want to thank you so much.
Oh my God, it's thank you for having me. And did you notice plants and your plants are like,
I know, look at us. They're like, they're like kissing. They're drawn to each other. Oh my gosh. We will catch you on the next episode.
Like a fire needs oxygen and fuel, you're not meant to reach your goals alone. Your missing part could be as simple as finding the right community. And if it's not my community, there's definitely the right one out there for you. If you're looking for a place to start, check out the link in the show notes and let this community help you breathe in fresh oxygen.